You know, God has used some peculiar creatures to deliver his message. In the book of Numbers, he uses a donkey and lets that donkey speak to one of his erring servants. The disciples were a peculiar bunch of people. Fisherman, tax collector, zealot, doubter. And yet God used them to deliver his message and turn the world upside down. Some, like Brother Clyde, would say that this church has a peculiar preacher. And he told me that last night. I won't tell you how he told me I was peculiar, but he said, you know, you're a peculiar preacher. And I know that if he didn't kid me like that, I would worry that he didn't love me. And I had a couple people tell me last night, said, oh, you were awful tough on Brother Clyde in your renewing your vows. And I said, oh, he just knows that I love him. I wouldn't kid him if I didn't. But one of the most peculiar preachers in all the Bible is found in John chapter 19. His name was Pilate. Now, most of you here this morning have probably never thought about Pilate being a preacher. I mean, we read about him in John chapter 19. He was the Roman governor. He was the one that the Jews brought Jesus to and asked the Roman governor to execute him. The Jews did not have the ability to put anybody to death, and so they brought Jesus to Pilate and said, hey, this man is raising a subversion against the Roman Empire, and you need to take care of him and kill him as the Roman law states. And we read his story. He examined Christ and found no reason to put him to death, but he ignored a warning from his wife. He ignored what his conscience told him was right. He bowed to the pressure of the crowd, and he gave Jesus to his soldiers to be tortured and then killed. And so most of us, as we read Pilate's story in the Gospels, would never say, well, he was a preacher. I mean, he was a declarer of the gospel. But I submit to you that in John chapter 19, he preached a four-point message that speaks to the heart of every person. This morning, I've entitled my message, Pilate's Sermon, and I'm going to preach to you the sermon that he preached that day as he oversaw the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So it has 4 points. The first point is this: I find no fault in him. We read that verse 4 a minute ago. Let me read it again. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. You know, Pilate had a lot to gain if Jesus was just a regular sinner. He'd already crucified many of the Jews in the time that he'd been the governor there in Palestine. He'd already sentenced many Jews to death. He would have no problem in crucifying another one. If Christ had just been a regular sinner, it would have been no big deal for Pilate to send him to the cross on Golgotha. I mean, he could have crucified him and he wouldn't have had any problems at home. I wonder what his wife said to him when he got home after she heard that Jesus was crucified. She'd sent a message to him that very day. Said, I've had a terrible dream about this person. You need to... And he ignored that warning from his wife. And so if Jesus was a regular sinner, he could have crucified him, had no problem at home, had no problem with his political career. I mean, if Jesus was just a regular sinner. But Pilate had watched Jesus. He'd watched as he'd been beaten and seen no anger in his eyes. He watched as Jesus had been ridiculed and mocked and saw no wanting of vengeance in the eyes of Christ. He'd seen no hatred at all in Jesus, only compassion. And that led Pilate to say, I find no fault in him. In Isaiah, the prophet foretold what Jesus would do. It says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. When Pilate walked out in front of that crowd and delivered the first point of his sermon, "I find no fault in him," he was only echoing what the Bible tells us over and over. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." Peter writes, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish." Pilate said, "Hey, I want everybody to know. I've watched him being beaten. I watched him being mocked. I watched him being ridiculed. I want you to know. I haven't seen a single fault in Jesus Christ." For 2,000 years now, mankind has been examining the life of Christ. They've looked for one mistake, one error, one failing. If they had found just one mistake, one sin, it would be published in every newspaper. It would be the subject of every blog. It would be on every news program. They would rise up and they would say, "Hey, here's where Jesus sinned. Here's where he made a mistake. Here's where he was at fault." But they've looked for 2,000 years. They've examined his life. They've looked at it over and over, and they haven't found one single solitary sin that was ever committed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate was right when he said, "I find no fault with him." We have a holy, sinless, perfect Savior. Look, I'm not preaching about just a pretty good prophet this morning. I'm not teaching about a good teacher. I'm preaching about the perfect, sinless Son of Almighty God, who we have to say, like Pilate, "We find no fault in him." Number two, behold the man. In verse 5 of that chapter, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." We're not saved because Jesus was perfect. We're not saved because he was sinless. We're saved because that perfect, sinless Son of God wrapped himself in humanity, wrapped himself in flesh, and went to the cross and died for our sins. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the book of Philippians, "But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You listen to me this morning. Jesus was all God, and at the same time, he was all man. He became man so that he could go to the cross and pay for our sins. Not for any sin that he committed. He was without fault. But he went to that cross to pay for my sins and your sins. And I know many people say, I just can't understand how God could be all man and all God at the same time. I wish I could explain it to you. I can't. It's one of those things that I believe because the Bible says it. And by faith, I believe what this book says. I can't explain how Jesus at the same time could be all God and all man. I can't explain it, but I can illustrate it for you. If he was not a man, if he were not a man, then to whom did Mary give birth to in that manger in Bethlehem? And if he were not God, then who did the angels sing about that night in Bethlehem when they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men? Amen. If he were not a man, then who did John the Baptist baptize in the Jordan River? But if he were not a God, then why did that dove come down from heaven and light upon him, and a voice come from heaven that said, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? If he wasn't a man, then whom did the woman with the issue of blood touch? But if it wasn't a God, then who said to her, go in peace, thy faith hath made thee whole? If he weren't a man, then who asked the woman at the well for a drink of water? And if he wasn't God, who was it that told her everything that she had ever done? If he wasn't a man, who was asleep in the boat? If he wasn't God, then who stood and said, peace be still, and the waves and the wind ceased? If he wasn't a God, if he wasn't a man, then who cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if he weren't God, then why at that moment was the veil in the temple ripped from the top to the bottom? If he wasn't a man, who cried out with a loud voice? And if he wasn't God, why did the sun go black? If he wasn't a man, then who was it that died on Calvary? And if he wasn't God, then who came out of the grave on Sunday morning? He was all God. He was all man at the same time. The Almighty God of the universe robed himself in flesh to die for you and me. Pilate had it right. Behold the man. Behold the man. I find no fault in him. And then number three. Behold your king. Behold your king. John chapter 19 verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Now, I sort of believe that Pilate said this tongue in cheek. He was just trying to get the goat of these Jewish leaders that had brought Jesus to be crucified. But what he said, behold your king. I mean, it was a truth that he might not have understood, but it was a truth that is a truth and it's just as true today as it was when he said it. The Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Pilate may have said it to make fun of the Jews, but Jesus Christ is King, and one day he will be every sinner's judge and jury. He's the Almighty King of the universe. He will reign forever and ever. Some people, when they think of Jesus Christ on the cross, think of somebody that's weak, somebody that was under the control of Satan. They pictured Jesus on the cross as being under Satan's dominion and didn't defeat Satan until he resurrected on Sunday morning. I want to tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash from hell. On the cross, God was in control. On the cross, Jesus was in control. Look, if Satan was in control when Jesus was on the cross, all he had to do was break the little finger of Jesus Christ. The prophecy had said the requirement for the Passover lamb is that no bone be broken. And if Satan was in charge when Jesus was on the cross, all he had to do was break one of the little bones in the little finger of Jesus Christ, and he could not do that. Don't you tell me that Satan was in control when Jesus was on the cross. God was in control. That was part of his plan. He was bringing it to fulfillment. He was bringing the plan that existed before the foundation of the world to its conclusion. And if Satan couldn't break his little finger, don't you think for a minute that he was in charge when Jesus was on the cross. God was in control. Jesus was in control. And today, he offers to every sinner salvation. Today, if you'll receive him, he'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you a child of God. He'll give you a home in heaven. But if you reject him, if you reject the Savior, if you reject the sinless, perfect Son of God, who was a man, one day, as the King, he'll set in your judgment, and he'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you." Today, his invitation is to come. "You come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." That's his invitation today. As that sinless, perfect, no-fault Son of God, who robed himself in flesh and became man so that he could die for our sins. Again, receive him. Receive him. If you're here and you've never received him, receive him. Please don't walk out of this place and run the risk of one day having to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And hear, "I never knew you. I never knew you." There's a fourth point to Pilate's sermon. First three have sort of been directed at those that don't know Christ. This fourth one is directed to us as Christians. This fourth point says, "What I have written, I have written." John chapter 19, verse 19. "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" Verse 21, "Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, 'Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews.'" Verse 22, "Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.'" You see, up till that point, Pilate had done his best to make everybody happy. He'd done everything he could to satisfy the Jews. He'd done what he knew he should not have done. He knew that Jesus did not just, there was no reason to crucify him. He knew the Jews only brought him because of their jealousy of Christ. He knew that Jesus did not deserve to die. But he compromised. He said, "Well, I got to satisfy these Jews. I got to somehow make them happy." And so he did what he knew that he shouldn't have done. He did what his wife warned him not to do. He delivered Jesus over to the soldiers. They tortured him and then crucified him. Pilate wrote a sign to hang on the cross. He wrote, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Well, the cross was in a place that many people could see it, and many people passed by, and when they looked up and they saw this sign, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," the Jewish leaders were all upset about this, and they went back to Pilate. He said, "Hey, you need to change what you wrote. Don't write that he is the King of the Jews. Write that he said he was the King of the Jews." And I think at that moment, Pilate got a little bit of backbone. I think at that moment, Pilate stiffened up his back, and he said, "I'm done meeting you halfway. I'm done compromising. I'm done trying to make everybody happy. I am not changing what I wrote. It stands." Oh, to God, we would have some Christians today that would say the same thing. "What I have written, I have written. I'm tired of compromising with the world. I'm tired of trying to meet the world halfway. I'm tired of trying to make the world happy. I'm going to stick by this book, jot for jot, tittle by tittle, and if it offends the world, let the world be offended. If it makes the world mad, let the world be mad. This is the Word of God. What we have written, it will stand." Pilate's message, his sermon. What a sermon. You wouldn't think an old sinful Roman governor could preach a sermon like that. I find no fault in him. Behold the man. Behold your king. What I have written, I have written. If an old sinful Roman governor could understand those truths, then why can't we?
Amen.
Why can't we? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, He's the perfect, sinless Son of God. He qualifies to be the Passover Lamb. He robed Himself in flesh and went to Calvary's cross to die for you. If you'll come, He'll give you salvation. But mark my words, if you reject Him, one day you'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He'll cast you into hell.
Amen.
And oh, that we would have Christians that would say, I'm done compromising with the world. I'm going to stand for God.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this message from this unusual preacher that You put in the pages of Your word. And I pray that we would heed the truth as Pilate preached to us. I pray for every person that's here that's never received Christ. We have a faultless Savior. A Savior who wrapped Himself in flesh so that He could die on Calvary's tree for our sins. And one day we'll stand before the King of Kings and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. Or we'll hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. And it all depends on what we do with Jesus Christ. And I pray that every person here, I pray, if they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that right now they'll see their sin. They'll see the penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. They'll see the only hope they have is what Jesus did for them on Calvary. And they'll come to Christ. They'll come right now. They'll pray that prayer you taught sinners to pray. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. With heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Help them this morning, Father, to make that decision. And then for the many Christians that are here, help us to say, like Pilate did, we're done compromising with the world. We're done meeting the world halfway. We're going to stand for God. Father, just bless this invitation. If there's people here today that need to receive Christ, help them to come. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's Christians here that need to make a decision, maybe for baptism or joining the church, help them to do that. If there's people here that just need to use the altar, help them to do that. We just ask Your richest blessings on this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.